Well, I believe our gathering home is soon to be upon us. I believe the Lord's coming, and we believe that. We teach that, preach that. You believe that and talk about it, and we anticipate it. That's the hope of the believer. That's the hope of the church, the blessed hope of our Lord coming. And that's sort of what we be dealing with tonight in Revelation chapter number 22. The last chapter of the Bible, and we'll begin reading in verse number 10 and read down through the last verse, verse number 21. Revelation chapter 22 and verse number 10. And he saith unto me, seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand, and he that is unjust, let him be unjust still. He which is filthy, let him be filthy still. And he that is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he that is holy, let him be holy still. And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give every man according as his work shall be. I'm Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life, and may enter through the gate into the city. For without are dogs, and sorcerers, and whoremongers, and murderers, and idolaters, and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. I, Jesus, have set mine angel to testify unto these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, and the bright and morning star. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And him that heareth say, come. And let him that athirst come, and whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of this of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life, and out of the holy city, and from the things which are written from this book. He which testified these things saith, surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so, come Lord Jesus. In the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. The last chapter of the last book of the Bible gives us encouraging words that the Lord is coming. We read the Old Testament, and it prophesied that the Lord was coming. And he came that first time, placed in a manger, lived a perfect life, died for sinners upon the cross, ascended back to heaven. And so there were prophecies concerning his coming as Messiah. And now in the New Testament, and by the way, the Old Testament also, there are prophecies of his second coming, and one day that shall happen. I read something yesterday. I forget who was writing, and certainly I think it was a Jewish writer, and it made statements that, and it was a Jewish rabbi, and he made statements that all the things that are taking place in our world today is just preparing for the coming of Messiah. The sad part about that, he's just about 2,000 years late. He's looking and thinking that the Lord is coming, that Messiah is coming that first time to deliver Israel. And even when Jesus came, his disciples said, are you going to establish your kingdom? Who's going to be greatest in your kingdom? And the Lord didn't come first time to establish his kingdom. He came first time to establish his church and to die upon Calvary. And so the Jews have missed that, especially the Orthodox religious Jews. They are anticipating, they are looking, and they know enough of the Old Testament. They disregard the New Testament, but there's enough in the Old Testament that they realize that the time is at hand of the coming of their Messiah. And we realize that it's coming close to that second coming, because also we see the prophecies of this book. We have just finished out a year and started a new year. And all you have to do is look around and you'll see prophecy fulfilled day in and day out. Last night, you looked at the news and you wondered what was going to transpire, what was going to happen, and all the things that take place in the Middle East. They are so very important to the child of God, because the Lord, everything is centered around that little place called Israel. And Israel wasn't involved last night, but it could have been. But all that area and all that those places are very prominent in the Scripture. And you have Syria, and you have Iran, Iraq, and you have the Euphrates River, and all those things are mentioned in the Scripture. Egypt and all that, a part of the Middle East, and it all points us to the realization that one day Jesus is coming, and everything in this book will be fulfilled just as it was written. And that's why the Lord here warns of adding to or taking away, because we have the full revelation, we have the full message that God has for us. And we have a message to the unsaved. We tell them today is the day of salvation. We don't have yesterday, we don't have tomorrow, but we do have today. And that is the message that we give to the world, that they need to come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. To the saint of God, our message is to keep our heads up, to lift up our eyes, for our redemption draweth nigh. To the sleeping child of God, or the sleeping saint, we have a message that it's high time for them to awake out of their sleep and to realize that we are to redeem the time, because this is all the time that we have, and we must use it, because we are approaching one day standing before the Lord at the judgment seat of Christ. It's approaching, and before all that takes place, He will come, and we will be gathered to Him. We'll be taken to heaven. So I want you just to look at these 10 or 11 verses, 12 verses, and just notice some things about what it says about the Lord coming. John was so, I believe, excited when he heard these words. If you have a red letter edition Bible, I do not, but you can, if you have a red letter edition, you can tell exactly when Jesus is doing the talking by those red letters. And if we read it, we can tell, and by the wording, that it is the Lord doing the talking. And He's talking to John the apostle, as he is there, and John has already received what we have as the book of Revelation. He has heard the voice of the Lord. He has seen the vision of God. And now things are just about to come to a close of the writing of the Word of God. And the last thing Jesus says is, "Behold, I come quickly." And John says, "Even so, come, Lord Jesus." Those were thrilling words, I believe, for John to hear. And I believe they ought to be thrilling words to us, that he says, "I come." And somebody said, "Well, he hadn't come very quickly. It's been over 2,000 years. That's not what that word quickly means, but it means when he comes, he's going to be here, and not going to be a long, drawn-out thing. When he comes for us, we're going to be out in a moment, the twinkling of an eye. When he comes back those 7 years later, then he comes quickly to execute judgment upon a world that has rejected him. So tonight, John said, "Even so, come, Lord Jesus." And that certainly, I'm sure, was a thrill of his heart to realize he was not left alone, that things were going to be better, and Jesus was coming. Notice verse number 10. As we begin our reading, it says that, "For the time is at hand." He tells, seal up the book. And he says here, "Seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book." And so it's not sealed, it's open. So many people, and some things in the Revelation are very difficult. Some things are almost impossible to understand the full meaning or the depth of the meaning. But when God gave the revelation and the message to Daniel, he told Daniel, he said, "You seal the book." And in the revelation, we have a seven-sealed book, and God opens it, and now God says to John, said, "Don't seal this book. It is a book of revelation revealing of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is not the revelation of St. John the Divine, as probably all of our Bibles say right there at the first of the chapter number one. You can tell by the first verses that it is the revelation of Jesus Christ. It is the revealing of the Lord. It is the telling the world who He is and what He's going to do and how He's going to perform in these last days. So he tells John, he says, you write down, the time is at hand. Now, if the time was at hand 2,000 years ago, it's really at hand now. And, a day with the Lord is 1,000 years. Time is not counted by the Lord like we count the ticks of a clock. And when Jesus, when the Lord told John the time was at hand, it was at hand. And when He tells us, when we read it, it is at hand. The Scripture tells us that certain things are going to take place in our world. There's the falling away that we read about. There's the gathering of Israel that began in 1948 when Israel came back into her land that seemingly was almost physically impossible that Israel would ever again occupy, that the Jews would occupy the land of Israel. And we look at it on a map and it's just a small little dot in comparison to the world. But if you read the Old Testament and you get God's His boundaries of Israel, it's a very large place that one day they will occupy. And all those folks that hate them so much and say death to Israel and destroy Israel, one day they're going to occupy their land because that was in the boundaries of what God gave to Abraham. And he let Moses look upon it and see it there before they entered into the promised land. And so there is a time at hand that the falling away is taking place, I believe, right now. I believe we're seeing that before our very eyes and have for some time. We've seen the gathering of Israel. We've seen them come back into their land. And probably the second, maybe third most powerful nation in this world is that small little dot called Israel. They have everything at their disposal. Of course, they are our only friends in the Middle East, and we're their only friends. And they have abundance of abilities to do things, and they're getting things ready for the coming of the Lord. I read some articles back years ago that they do not have a temple. I believe there will be another temple erected, because the Scripture says the Antichrist will be in their temple, and Matthew calls it an abomination, and Daniel talks about that abomination of desolation. And so there will be a temple where it will be erected. I do not know. I don't know how they'll ever work out those details, because there at the site of the Solomon's temple stands the Dome of the Rock, the Muslim most holy place. And but it will work, and one day there will be a Jewish temple on that land, and they are now getting everything ready. There are folks that are learning harps and the musical instruments. There are people that are putting together the priestly garments. They are doing everything that the Old Testament tells of how it is supposed to be, and everything that is to be prepared for the for the temple, and they're preparing it because they realize, even though they see it with a different view, they realize the time is at hand. And they're looking for that first coming, but it will be His second coming. And so the time is at hand. He'll gather us home. One of these days we'll be with the Lord. The perilous times are upon us that are spoken of. The perilous times shall come, and all you got to do is just look around. You don't even have to read a newspaper. You don't have to watch a TV. All you got to do is just drive around and go to Evansville, go to Madisonville, go to any different area. You'll find there are perilous times taking place all around us. So I believe we can truthfully say and believe and understand that the time is at hand. The Lord could come tonight. There's nothing has to be done. There's no prophecy that has to be fulfilled for the Lord to come. So many of the prophecies of what we talk about, the prophetic things that must take place before the coming of the Lord. Much of that, most of that, is the coming of the Lord in power and great glory at the end of the tribulation. But I don't believe there's anything that has to be done before what we call the rapture. Everything's ready. The time's at hand. It's ready to take place. And that ought to be exciting. That ought to be thrilling to every Christian to realize that we could pillow our head tonight and wake up in glory and to be with our Lord, to be with Him forever and forever. And so verse number 10 tells us that that it's ready. Verse number 11 tells us that there's no second chances. Let him that is, how's it read? The unjust, let him be unjust. The filthy are filthy. The righteous, let him be righteous. And he that is holy, let him be holy. There's not going to be any time to change when the Lord comes. What is, and what you are is what you will be. You'll be left behind just simply because, as an unbeliever, because of not believing and trusting the Lord, and the lost are going to be lost forever. I personally do not believe that anyone that has had an ample opportunity to hear the gospel and reject that, I do believe they'll be send strong delusion and they'll believe a lie. And sometimes folks say, well, the Bible talks about an innumerable host of people that are saved during the tribulation, and I believe that also. But can you imagine how many people have never really heard a clear presentation of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ? Even some in America have not had that opportunity. And so they will be saved during that particular time. And how that transpires and the 144,000 that are mentioned in the first part of the book of the Revelation, they go out as God's evangelists preaching the gospel, and they're chosen of the Lord to go forth and to preach the gospel. How they get that knowledge, I don't have those answers, and I don't think anybody does. But the scripture says they'll go out and multitudes will hear the message of the Lord Jesus Christ. But what we are now is what we will be, because when He comes, the just will be just and the unjust will be unjust. The filthy will be filthy and the righteous will be righteous. No time change, the time to change those things there. And so we find that the time approaches, and so therefore people that we know and love, we should certainly be instrumental in telling them that they need to come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 12 and verse number 13 says, behold, I come quickly. That's the second time the Lord has said that. First time is in verse number 7. Now in verse number 12, behold, I come quickly. My reward is with me to give every man according to his work shall be. I'm Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Eternity will be wonderful for the child of God. This old life isn't too wonderful. It gives out a lot of heartaches, and a lot of problems, a lot of sickness. But when we enter into the very presence of the Lord, we enter into eternity. No more have to worry about death, no more problems of life. The former things, the scripture says, are passed away. And all these things that we're dealing with tonight, those will be former things. They'll be things that we will think about and maybe remember for a while, but they're gone, never to return. Former things are passed away. Future things are reserved for us. And He has gone to reserve us a place in heaven and a place that He's going to prepare for us. And one day we will occupy that, and eternity will be eternal. That's almost incomprehensible to you and I, because we think of a beginning and an end. We think of time starting and time stopping. We think of a birth date and a death date. We think of all the process of time. But when we get in eternity, it will be eternal. There'll be no more. We won't have to worry about handing out any more calendars or no more worry about the clock, because it's eternal. And that's where God resides. That's where He is. Never has been a start to it, it's just there. And our finite minds cannot understand the infinite. What we have in our brain cannot hardly comprehend something that would never end, because everything we deal with has an ending. This service will have an ending. Our life will have an ending. Everything, it does not matter what we talk about, it has a beginning and an ending. But in eternity, we are there for all eternal, all the eternal time, and nothing will ever change, nothing will ever stop, and the Lord Jesus Christ will be our Lord. Not only Lord and Savior, but He will be our King. And He will be there, and everything about the saint, everything about heaven, we will experience it over and over and over again, never, never to come to an end. Former things are gone. Past things are over. Future things are forever. And so here when the Bible says the time is at hand, you and I as a Christian, we ought to look forward to that. We ought to have a thrill in our heart that tomorrow it might start my eternity. Now, I'm living in eternity right now, but it's in a little space called time. And we're going to leave this time, and we're going to go and be with the Lord for all time. And just as wonderful as eternity will be for the saint, eternity will be dreadful for the sinner. For those that know not God, those that are not saved, those that do not know the Lord, He says there, "For without are dogs and sorcerers and whoremongers and murderers, idolaters, and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie." Those things and those people, death is sure. And we realize that judgment is certain. And we know from the Scripture that hell is hot. Not many people talk about hell today, unless they use it in a message or a sentence. They'll use the word. Very few people think about what hell really is all about. Very few Christians want to talk about hell because they don't want to offend somebody. But my friend, everybody that doesn't know the Lord, that's where they're going. They're going to a place not only called hell, they're going to a place that is hell. And the Bible says fire and brimstone, where the worm dieth not. Where the worm there means the soul of man does not die. And he's going to spend eternity without God. And just as long as we're in heaven, they're in hell. It doesn't matter what the Jehovah's Witness tell us, or some of these other cult groups say that, well, Seventh-day Adventists and all those, they say hell is just for a little while, and then it's all over. Well, if that be the case, then that wouldn't be too bad. It'd be all over. But my Bible declares to me that hell is eternal. The Scripture says that hell is forever. And just as we enter into the presence of the Lord in that wonderful state of eternity that will never end, they enter into that charred regions of the damned that never end also. I probably still have the poem somewhere. It's called Hell, the Prison House of Despair. And described, it says, here are a few people that will not be there. And it describes the child of God. And then the second part of it says, hell, the prison house of despair. Here are the folks that will be there. And in that poem, it relates all the people that die without God. How dreadful eternity is without the Lord. Cain said, when the Lord drove him away, he says, my punishment is greater than I can bear. I sort of believe that might be the message of the people of hell. My punishment is more than I can bear. And the rich man that died, he's in hell, he lifted up his eyes and he says, I'm in torment. So the Bible gives us some very clear pictures of what hell is all about. And just as wonderful as heaven will be for the saint, hell will be dreadful for the sinner. And here in these last few verses, we find that out. But God is a God of grace. He has always been a gracious God. We see His grace first manifest in the Garden of Eden. For when Adam and Eve sinned against God, He showed them grace, and He destroyed and killed two animals and covered their nakedness. and that was by grace. And so from Genesis all the way through the entire Bible, every period of time that we call dispensation has been sprinkled with God's grace. Some people call this period of time in which we live the age of grace. I think all of them have been the age of grace. This is the church age. This is where God deals with the world by the gospel, the preaching of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Revelation was written to churches. And in those chapter 2 and 3, these messages that John has here, it's written to the churches. And then he even mentions it here in one of our verses that it's to the church. And so this is the church age, but every age has been so overwhelmingly abundant grace given to mankind. And in verse 16 and 17, we see God's grace still standing tall. We see God's invitation before he says, I come quickly. Verse 16. I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify you these things, where? In the churches. He said, I've given you the message. And he says, he identifies himself, I am the root and the offspring of David and the bright and morning star. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that thirst come. And whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. There's God's last invitation. Here in these last words of His word, he says, come. The Spirit, the Holy Spirit, and the bride, the church, say, come. And that is our message. That is what we have to give. The Spirit is calling. The saints are witnessing. And God's salvation is there for everyone. Whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. And so here we find that in these last moments of the revelation, God says, before I come quickly, there is an invitation that you must come. And he identifies himself as the root and offspring of David, the bright and morning star. The Spirit, the bride, they have one message, and that is to come. I don't believe anybody will ever come unless the Spirit draws him. That's just so very clear in the Word of God. And the only way that the Spirit of God can draw someone is that they must hear the message. And that is the job of the New Testament church, is to tell the story of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit works in the heart. That's what happened to all of us. We heard the message, and the Holy Spirit worked in our heart, and he said, come. And thank God, one day we came. And so we find here in these last moments of this book, the Lord shows his grace and shows his mercy. And he tells this message that has been given to the churches. He said, you go tell the world that the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that is athirst come. Let him come. And then just whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. So it's an offer to everybody. I'm so glad tonight everyone can be saved. We're not an exclusive club. Everyone can trust the Lord if they so will do that. And I know God works on our will. I understand all those things. But it's man, hearing the gospel and believing what Jesus says. And so we find that the Spirit and the bride say, come. The message is given. Judgment awaits those that reject God's word. Verse 18, verse 19, to change it is fatal, to reject it is fatal, to ignore it is fatal. That when we reject the Word of God, there's only one result, and that's fatality. We hear the words casualties and fatalities. Casualties means you got hurt. Fatality means you got killed. That means it's over. And a person that rejects the Word of God and tampers with God's Word and rejects what God has given, it's fatality. They die without the Lord. And judgment awaits them. And they are there standing before him one day, just like one day we will stand before the Lord and give an account of the deeds done in our body, whether good or bad. And they'll stand before the Lord and he'll say, I don't know you. And what a terrible message that is. But Jesus Christ is coming. And verse number 20 tells us he's coming just like he said he was. He says, he which testifieth these things saith, surely I come quickly. So we have the assurance that he is coming. His coming is quick, his coming is sure, and his coming as a thief in the night. And one of these days, he will come quickly. It won't be a long, drawn-out session. Somebody said we'd already fought about 40 years with Iran. Since 1979, they captured so many hundred of our people, kept them captured for a long while. And from that time on, we've been in a turmoil with that particular area of the world called the Middle East. Well, the Lord's going to come quickly, and he's not going to take a long process to do it, and he's coming just like he said that he would come. And so we find here, he which testified these things saith, surely, that means truly, absolutely, I come quickly. And those are Jesus' words, and he is going to come because the time is at hand. And then verse number 21, God's grace is sufficient. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all, so be it. Amen. The grace of God, until he comes, his grace is available. Until he comes, his grace is sufficient. His grace to serve, grace is given to us to survive. Not everything may be like what we wish it would be, and not as easy as we wish it would be, but the grace of God will suffice. It'll take care of us. He told Paul, my grace is sufficient. You and I tonight, his grace is sufficient. Whatever comes our way, thank God he is available. His grace is always available to the world until he comes. And in that world that has rejected him, they'll believe a lie. I used to wonder how that would be. My goodness, I'm seeing so many people believe lies today. That's just so bizarre. And so if they can believe some of the things they believe today, they will believe a lie about the coming of our Lord. They don't want to think about it anyway, and it's just a figment of imagination. It's just all these folks that are silly that believe certain things like the ark and all. It's not going to be hard for them to believe something that is a lie. And one of these days, when the Lord comes and we're gone, the Bible says God will send them strong delusion and they will believe a lie. I believe God did the same thing in Egypt when the children of Israel left. God sent Pharaoh strong delusion. God says, I will harden his heart. Pharaoh, he's just going to express it. I'm going to harden his heart. You see, God has a pattern. God has a plan, the perfect will of God, and it will be worked out in this time, this space that we call time, rushing quickly toward eternity. What we see today, yesterday, days gone by, or tomorrow even, those are things just getting everything ready, just like that Jewish rabbi said, everything is getting ready for our Messiah. And it's such a shame they are not ready for the Messiah they're looking for. They've already missed him, and they will follow after a false Messiah. The scripture calls him Antichrist. And they'll follow after him. He'll offer them peace and security and safety, and they'll make a covenant. And they'll think he's their Messiah. But he's the Antichrist, and they won't realize it until the very end of the tribulation period. And when they see the Lord coming, they say, oh, here's the one that really is our Messiah. Here's the one that has the scars. We pierced his side. And Jesus will redeem a nation in a day, and then they will go into eternity as the people of God. A lot in the future, but Jesus says, I come quickly. And he is surely coming again. Coming again, oh, coming again. our Lord is coming again. Let's stand together tonight and rejoice in the fact that he's coming.